excited, I'm not worried. Go back up some of these empty tears just as soon as we know where they lay. Time up the thin jolly and leaving line on a long hot summer day. For every day you work on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. On the top of building up barges on a long hot summer day.
Say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me the Cabaret Flirt Gardener, coming to you from Ramblin' Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hespler, Ontario. You are listening to Ramblin' Radio, episode 95 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramblin' Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to ramblinradio.com for all your news, reviews, and any links I might happen to mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramblin' Radio through iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, if you go to iTunes, pop over to Ramblin' Radio and leave a review. Tell the world that you like it, that you don't. Give it 1 star, give it 5 stars. But the more reviews, the better. And it helps them to notice. It helps people to notice. When people search for Led Zeppelin, it comes up quicker if there's more reviews, that sort of thing. You can listen on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. Listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. Be sure to follow Ramblin' Radio on Spreaker. And if people follow, I'm going to get into this in a second, but lots of follows means it helps with placement, much like iTunes, but also allows me it helps if I try to get on iHeartRadio. So I'm going to get into that in 1 second, though. And check it out. So check out Ramblin' Radio on YouTube. I have some old podcasts up, videos of. I haven't been doing that lately for the new people. The reason is because nobody was really watching them. And it was a lot more work, and it was a big pain in the a to me. You can follow Ramblin' Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramblin' Blog on Twitter. I'm terrible at it sometimes, and it's been busy the last while, but I do try to respond. And Facebook's been active this last week. Wyatt's been posting John Paul Jones and some different videos and whatnot. And we're actually going to get into all that stuff right now. One talk first. This is episode 95. If you check the podcast feed, you will notice it jumps 93 to 95. 94 happened. It just never got posted, and the reason is because I went into, you know, as I talked about in 93, I was thinking I was going to dabble in the personal relationship, and I didn't like where I went with it. So 94 is the mysterious missing episode. If this becomes a cult classic, this podcast, 10 years from now, people will talk about the missing episode, episode 94. They will trade people. It'll be traded amongst hoarders who have episode 94. Not they'd have to get it by coming here and stealing it off me, but so 94 exists. You just haven't heard it. Speaking of episodes, I had somebody on YouTube tell me they liked the podcast, but he asked about seeing the earlier ones because there's only about 20 that are up right now, and that's just because that's a financial consideration. I have actually been archiving them the last little while, and funny thing, I thought, oh, I'm gonna need to buy like a 16 gigabyte, it's 90 friggin' episodes, I'm gonna need to buy like a 16 gigabyte USB, and I put them all in one file, and I changed the name of them for file purposes, so they list up, because at first I called it one thing, the file, you know, I called it just Ramblin' Radio, I think, and then I changed it, and then I changed it again, and so you get 1 to 20, and then And then you would get like 45 to 90 or so, you know, like they're out of order. So I changed it all so it goes strictly in order. The file name is... So, but anyway, I've been archiving them. Turns out it's a whole 2 gigabytes worth of stuff all this time. Very little data on these puppies. But they are, as of right now, not up anywhere. It has been in the back of my mind. I want to ponder... I got to kind of find a cheap way, possibly a cheap place to put them up. And then I'll archive them online if I can kind of think of a way to do it. I'm sure there is. I just haven't really got around to looking it up. So I will keep you all informed on that. You could be able to go back and listen to the old ones. I'll try to make that up. 100's coming. 100th episode is coming. I've actually been listening to the old stuff. Pulling out a few clips and stuff. Hoping to do kind of a big 100th episode. And I better get on that because that's five, six, seven weeks away just. And... kind of as part of that I've been archiving and doing all that, so I'm sorting it out now. iHeartRadio, somebody on for Badge Holders Only posted that they had gotten iHeartRadio and is there any Zeppelin content, and I didn't respond to it, thought of it. I try not to push this show on, you know, the forums and other people's forums and stuff, you know what I mean. So it's not my... You know, if you have a blog on Led Zeppelin, I'm not posting, oh, check out my podcast on your blog or on your Facebook page. I have done it very rarely, usually if I kind of feel it's A, all right by the person who runs it. For instance, somebody told me at one, somebody was doing it themselves, somebody who had a Facebook page, and that sort of thing helps. By the way, if you have a Led Zeppelin Facebook page, by all means post a link. But I kind of try not to be, you know, be that guy who's just always pushing it, which probably hurts the podcast to a degree. But anyway, so I didn't post anything there. But what I was going to say, if I get 100 likes on Spreaker and then I try to apply to go on to iHeartRadio, they're much more willing to look at it. It doesn't need the 100 likes and the 14 or 15 likes I got. And they look for some different stuff. But anybody who's on iHeartRadio, you know, a really, really cool thing to do would be to contact them and say, I want this on iHeartRadio. That would be helpful. The other thing is to go to Spreaker and like it. Even if you have to open a Spreaker account. Spreaker is just one of those things where you put in a name and a password and you're in, and there's all sorts of podcasts, and all you have to do is go like Ramble On Radio. Don't even have to listen to it there. And although they have an app, you know, so you can listen to it on the go sort of thing if you have data enough. But, you know, so, and if more people do that, then we can get it on iHeartRadio, which would be very good for the podcast because thousands of people suddenly are listening to it. I just wanted to cover that ground. So episode 94, something I did talk about a bit on episode, not quite a bit, was Robert Plant's Record Store Day release, More Roar. And I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to pause. And those of you who are Robert Plant fans who hate the fact that whenever new stuff comes out, I kind of don't like it. I say, you know, I kind of badmouth Robert Plant a bit sometimes. Here's your chance. I want you to stop, press record on your computer, whatever program you're using for that. You got 30, you got a few seconds here. 3, 2, 1. I really liked More Roar, the Robert Plant LP for Record Store Day. I really liked it. Okay, there you go. You can turn off the recording. Here's it. You know, it was the songs that were on it were the better songs from the Ceaseless Roar. It was a kind of a cool version of Whole Lotta Love was on it. It included Who Do You Love, kind of a Who Do You Love thing going on, and it worked really well. And then the two songs that it had on it were good. And I don't recall offhand what they were. Sorry. But they were the up-tempo, they were rocking. He was rocking it out for a bit. And it worked. And it was, you know, one of my complaints about the recent Robert Plant stuff is You know, I'll say, oh, I like the first couple of songs. And then they're like, anyway, oh. It grows old on me fast. So this being three songs, 10-inch EP, played at 45. About 10 minutes aside, 10 or 12 minutes aside, just didn't grow old. It didn't have time to do that. So it works really well for me. And, you know, funny thing, I went to my local record store, and she says, yeah, I thought we had some. And I went through her albums, but I skimmed through the EPs, but I looked harder in the albums. I thought it was an actual 12-inch. She said, I thought I had it. And I says, a 12-inch? She says, yeah. And then nothing. So I went to another store about 3 days later, and they had it. They had quite a few of them, actually. So I picked it up. But when she didn't have it, she said, it's probably a good thing. I'm a big Plant fan, but I don't like his you know, recent stuff. And I buy it and then get PO'd. So I went and bought it and brought it home a few days later. I went, hey, this is all right. No, I like this. This is good. So there. If you see it, it comes down as recommended. It was good. So like that. Although I still want Led Zeppelin to actually put something out for Record Store Day. As they're doing these re-releases, I don't get why they don't do a Record Store Day throw-in. And I've said this before, but they were going to release for the Nebworth concert, strictly only for the concert, only available at the concert, a 45 of Darlene and Wearin' a Terran, I think it was. Tracks it from the whole In Through the Outdoor that didn't make In Through the Outdoor. And, what was I going to say here? I think that would be re-release it, finally, actually, you know, with the same cover you were thinking of at Nebworth and stuff, as a Record Store Day release, this fall, or this spring or this fall, in conjunction with In Through the Outdoor, which they're supposed to be coming late summer now. They presents In Through the Outdoor and Coda are all supposed to be late summer, is the rumor right now. So, that would be a cool Record Store Day release. So I don't know why they're not doing that stuff. Beck's Bolero was this Record Store Day. There's been a number of Yardbirds ones. Say Robert Plant did this little album. So it's not like the guys in the band are, and there was of them Crooked Vultures. So they're all on board with Record Store Day. They don't seem to have an objection to it. So it'd be kind of cool to get them to do something like that. But they don't take my calls. So these things don't get thought about, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, the More Roar is fairly good. It's fairly good indeed. Now, the intro you heard was little John Paul Jones playing with Sarah Watkins. Aife O'Donovan? A-O-I-F-E. And Sarah Jones's. Sarah Jaros. Jaros. J-R-O-S-Z, who are touring as a trio in the I'm With Her tour. It's I'm With Her. And they did Europe, they were doing Spain, and I kind of checked their blog, and they had stuff from Barcelona, and did they have Italy? I think maybe, definitely there was Barcelona, then there was London, then they were into Ireland, and then up to late into the Netherlands. They did a tour of Europe. You know, American country. They're American singers. American country. And John Paul Jones joined them on stage at the Union Chapel in London and guested for a couple of songs. And that one we played was, I don't know what it's called. I forget. I did not write that down. But that was a little bit of John Paul Jones with the I'm With Her tour girls. And it was nice to see him up and out and put down the quill feather, stopped writing that opera for a few days. And I have another one. A guy called. I have my phone. Oh, I have my phone. Oh, saved by the phone. What do I need to do? I need to go. I don't know what I need to do. Artists. Yeah. Andrew Lipke. Andrew plays keyboards for Get the Let Out. I've talked about Get the Let Out for a while. He plays guitar, keyboards, does the backup vocals. Kind of an all-around guy. He does the theremin during Whole Lotta Love, etc. So Andrew Lipke, L-I-P-K-E. And Andrew did released an album called Siddhartha. Siddhartha. And it is based on a book by... Blanking on it. If you look it up, S-I-D-D-H-A-R-T-H-A, German novelist, kind of in the 60s, became popular. I want to say Hermann Wouk, and it's not Hermann Wouk, and that's why I'm stumbling. It's one of those, that name's just jumped into my head, but I think it is a Hermann. And so anyway, he's released, it's on iTunes, he released it this week. And it's fairly good, although, listen, fair warning, just because he's in a Zeppelin tribute band, he does classical stuff as well. And actually, he talked about it on his Facebook page that Hermann Hesse who did the book. So he talks on his Facebook page about he always knew, first time he read this book, he knew he was going to write a large piece on it. But he didn't know, at the time, he says he didn't know what it would be, whether it would be an opera or what, and that's where that jumped into my head. So he's a guy who would be inclined, and I can't wait till the next time I go see them, because I want to sit and talk to him now for 20 minutes and talk about this. He's a guy who obviously composes in the classical vein, and this is a very progressive rock sounding sort of thing. It's got some classical elements to it. It's got lots of keyboard in it, lots of guitar playing. It's not Led Zeppelin-y at all, and that's a fair warning. But it's fairly good. That's Andrew Lipke, Siddhartha, and it's on iTunes, $6.99, I think it was. So it's not deadly expensive. And if you search him, he's got his page, and I'm sure somewhere on SoundCloud he's got a few of the songs. But I was mentioning John Paul Jones writing the opera, and he'd mentioned about doing this as an opera. Struck me as, yeah. So there you go. So a little Andrew Lipke, Siddhartha. I might, let me try to contact him in the next week or two and see if I can play a track for you. Have to see. We'll have to see it on that. All right. And Sammy Hagar and the Circle, which is the band he tours with sometimes, featuring Jason Bonham, and of course Michael Anthony, as well as guitarist Vic Johnson. They toured last year, and he's been touring a bit this summer. And in fact, the Led Zeppelin Experience stuff stopped. He did like 3 weeks of touring, and then they stopped while Jason went out with Sammy Hagar. And then now he's back. They're back touring, by the way. Hope to see 2 weeks. I hope 2 weeks tonight, I think. I hope to be seeing them, but I haven't really sorted that out yet. Have you figured out that it's been 4 weeks since the last podcast? Because A, I did a lousy one in 94, and B, I've been busy. I'm so behind on all this sort of stuff. And it's just been busy with just life. And plus the weather changing. I mean, it's so warm here, up here in Ice Station Zeppelin, that we've pulled out our spring parkas. Only one pair of long johns. Yeah, it's currently 22 degrees, and that's... if you're the USA Today high school blogger, high school sports blogger, that's, of course, hockey weather to you. But to the rest of us, 22 is actually Celsius, puts it around 80 degrees. That's what we're at right now. And that's at 9 o'clock at night. So we're into a bit of a heat wave here. So, yes, we got the winter. The winter parkas have been shunned. Actually, was cutting the lawn before I did this. So, it's the nice weather is finally upon us. And so that gets me out of the house a bit. And just start breathing a bit. And the next thing you know, oh, geez. But I had some other stuff on as well. There's been there was a death in the family. And then an uncle came over from Ireland. And I had a few things on the go. And it just goes and goes and goes. So that's why it's been 4 weeks. So yes, I'm behind on organizing tickets for Casino-rama, and I'm behind for all the little stuff I have to get done. The books I want to try and get review copies of and whatnot. But anyway, and speaking of that, the Dave Lewis compilation, Five Glorious Nights, they are pre-ordering it as we speak. Just Google Five Glorious Nights. It's an expensive piece of a book, though. £100, so about $150 US/Canadian, plus shipping. So it's a bit pricey, and I won't be buying it at the price. I just won't, which is a pity. But I will, and then I again, going backwards, I will try to get Dave Lewis on to talk about the book, give you a chance. I also, what's the other one? Jeff Strawman. I've talked for a while about Jeff Strawman and his Led Zeppelin gear book. He's doing a book on their gear. It is apparently ready to go. It has an exceptional looking cover by the looks of his webpage right now. And he's taking pre-orders shortly. And I have to try and contact both these people and see if I can get, you know, review copies. And I'm just way behind on doing everything. But anyway, Sammy Hagar in a Circle, they're releasing a live album. And this does have Jason Bonham on it. They play, it's 19 songs, some Van Halen stuff, some Sammy Hagar solo stuff. I'm guessing there's some Montrose stuff. There may even be, I don't know all the songs that Sammy Hagar does, or I don't even think I know all the Van Halen songs from his era. So, but it does have 5 Led Zeppelin tracks, Good Times, Bad Times, Whole Lotta Love, When the Levee Breaks, Rock and Roll, and Moby Dick / Jason's drum solo. And that is 2 weeks, about 12 days, 10 days from now, May 19th, 2-CD set. I assume it's going to be on all the download locations, but I don't know. And that's what's up and coming, and that has us up to date with the 10th anniversary of, it is, and it's, this is an odd release, but it's the 10th anniversary of Mighty Rearranger. My opinion going for probably the last really interesting work of Robert Plant, in my opinion, and only in my opinion, and I know there are people out there who strongly disagree with that. And I've kind of publicly stated before that I liked this at the time. I listened to it recently, and I listened to it a couple of years ago and thought, that didn't age well, but I've been listening to it a bit lately, and I will go back on that. It is an interesting and it is a decent album. Things like Another Tribe's an interesting, except, you know, like Another Tribe starts with this drum boom 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 boom, but it doesn't sound quite, you know, they use studio effects to trick up the drums and make them sound like something else, and I kind of go, that'd be so much better if they just stuck with a clean drum sound on it. You know, it's got an interesting guitar part, interesting chord progression. But then they pull in some sounds, you know, some keyboard sounds come in, and you go, oh, that's not good. And the, like I said, the drum sound is, I don't like the drum sound, so it's a good song. And that's, I mean, just starting off, right? And then Tin Pan Valley, All the King's Horses is pretty. The Enchanter, Mighty Rearranger. It's got half the words, that's weird. Or is it just stuck? Oh, it's glued in, so it's got half the words. That's weird. Anybody at the LP for this? I've never seen an LP for it. I've got to keep an eye on that one, aren't I? But anyway, here's the track list. Another Tribe, Shine It All Around, Freedom Fries, Tin Pan Valley, All the King's Horses, The Enchanter, Tucumba, Dancing in Heaven, Somebody Knockin', Let the Four Winds Blow, Mighty Rearranger, and Brother Ray. Brother Ray is a little Ray, little tribute to Ray Charles, and it's only a minute long, minute 12. Strange Sensation, Robert Plant, which is basically the Sensational Space Shifters with a few minor changes, different drummer, and then it doesn't have the Riddy player, so he kind of went backwards to this band. The Strange Sensation, after the Band of Joy, after Alison Krauss. But anyway, this was released Yeah, I should go back to this. This was released April 25th. This is officially what I was checking out when I was Googling this up. April 25th, 2005, this was released. Mighty Rearranger, Robert Plant and the Strange Sensation. However, it was released on May 9th in the United Kingdom, May 10th in the United States. So where the heck was it released? Like everywhere else in the world on April 25th? Not just a couple of days later, but what, two and a half weeks later? 2 weeks, anyway, a good two solid weeks later, they're in the UK and US. And that's weird to me. And certainly nowadays, you'd be, well, I don't have to buy it because it's all over the internet. 10 days ago. Seems like dumb marketing to me, but maybe there was a reason for it. I assume there was. And distribution probably what it was. But anyway. I say it's a good album. It's got some interesting songs. It's got a few that don't hold up well. I will concede that point. Freedom Fries was one I liked at the time. Wouldn't say I thought much of it this time through. Or the last couple of time through. But like I say, like All the King's Horses is really quite pretty. Along the lines of... What was that one I was doing? I was fooling around with one here. Liar's Dance. Along the lines of kind of Liar's Dance. A nice acoustic song. Shine It All Around, I quite like. Tin Pan Valley. Although he's kind of did with one of the songs in the recent album. Kind of mocked up Tin Van Pan Valley a bit. Kind of, you know, I wouldn't say mocked it, but did a very similar type of thing. But this struck me from Tin Pan Valley. Now, I've always, you know, at the time I caught the line, my peers may flirt with cabaret. And he's kind of taking the piss out of Rod Stewart. I was what I would have taken. Because what Rod Stewart was doing at the time was cabaret, but ultimately was. Although he did a nice job of it. But looking back on it now, based on the stuff that Robert Plant has said over the last while, there's some lines in here that are actually much more telling. And I don't think that's what he meant by it, by the way. I live on former glory, so long ago and gone. I'm turning down the talk shows, the humor and the couch. Moving up on higher ground, I've found a new way out. And then my peers may flirt with cabaret, some fake the rebel yell. That's in quotes, rebel yell in the words here, by the way. Me, I'm moving up to higher ground, I must escape their hell. And we know what he means by cabaret, he means like if Led Zeppelin went out and did what they were doing in 1977, that would be cabaret in his mind. What Rod Stewart was doing was not cabaret to him. I would disagree with that definition, and I don't mean that disparagingly. I like what Rod Stewart was doing. I'm a big Sinatra fan, for instance, and I really like some of the stuff that Rod Stewart did in that vein, but that's cabaret. You know, the Rolling Stones playing Hyde Park two summers ago, that was not cabaret, that was rock and roll. Now, maybe it was old geezers who long ago lost the attitude and the reason for rock and roll, but it's still rock and roll. It's not cabaret. But it, clearly that's what he means. You know, he talks about living on former glory, so long ago and gone. I must escape their hell, some fake the rebel yell, which was what he'd be talking about, what he would have been doing with Zeppelin. He kind of telegraphs what's coming for the next 10 years there in a bit, even though he probably didn't quite realize what was coming for the next 10 years. I think it's fair to say that he's telegraphing himself a bit there. Anyway, on time. But I found that interesting. And some of the songs, like I say, some of them I find entirely forgettable. All these years later, I still don't, I kind of go... Let the Four Winds Blow, I'm not even sure I know, and I listened to the damn thing today. Takamba, Dancing in Heaven, Somebody's Knocking. But some of the other stuff is quite good. So I'd call this a decent album, not an exceptional album. But like most albums of the modern era, you know, the real problem with so much is it's too long. It's a long time beef of mine, by the way. I hate the 70 minutes CDs, 65 minute CDs, and albums 48 minutes, and that's a number that seems to work. And I'm, you know, 45 minutes, 40 minutes in some cases. I mean, you go back to the Beatles' early days, they were doing 36 minutes. Go to Led Zeppelin 4, it's about 43 minutes, I think. And I don't, Mike's feeling is that that's a pretty good time frame, you know, a nice 8-9 song. So if we knocked, like this is 12 songs. And they're all 520, 420, 347, 252, 403, 404, 425. So really, two songs too many, maybe three songs too many, right? So if you knocked off the songs, I said, they're kind of forgettable. Tacomba, Somebody Knocking, and I would say Freedom Fries, but let's knock off Let the Four Winds Blow or Dancing in Heaven. Three of those four songs, and you have a much better album, right? Now you have eight quite good songs, or seven quite good songs anyway, you know? But that's not Robert Plant's fault. That's kind of the way the music business developed fault. And it's a long time beef of mine. There's so many albums that I think would be considered exceptional if and it's one of the things I do when I review albums. I mentally cut out three, four songs, five songs, you know, 30 minutes of music and say, now what have you got? And if at that point I think, you know, this is pretty good, without this stuff, I'll review it better. I'll say, okay, this is a better album than it comes across as, because the non-filler is quite good. Or more bluntly put, if it was released in 1978, this would be a much better album than it is now, just because the filler wouldn't be there. We'd be getting it on the bonus material now, going, yeah, that's all right. See, Robert, you could be doing a remaster on vinyl, box set, and you could have, like, Let the Four Winds Blow as the bonus tracks. See, you could be making more money. But no, had to put it all out at once. But, yeah, no, it's babbling. Mighty Rearrangers, it's a good, decent album. Probably... And I liked it a lot at the time. They did a lot of promo on it. I liked it a lot at the time. I'll tell you that much for sure. And I can't remember the last time that was true of a Robert Plant album. Sorry for saying so. It certainly wasn't. Dreamland I bought, listened to death. I was trying to force myself to like it. And I was about 3 months into it going, there's nothing here I'd like. There's nothing here that does anything. There's nothing here I even remember. Like, I didn't listen to the album yesterday and I've forgotten all the songs, you know. That was Dreamland. And this one came out, and yeah, I was much more pleased with this. And went and seen him on this tour. And a funny thing, you know, like I'm looking forward to that. Oh, he's going to do this song, he's going to do that song. And songs on this album and stuff. And nobody cared, eh? Nobody cared. We're in a stand. And it was like whenever he did a Led Zeppelin song, it was as if they turned up the volume on the PA. Because all of us, you could barely hear the music for the rumble of people talking amongst themselves. And then he'd say, this is one from an old band I used to be in, and people would shut up. And all of a sudden it was like, you could hear a pin drop, and they'd be singing along or dancing along, and the rumble of people talking was gone, and the music was louder. It was actually really bizarre. And I remember being frustrated at that concert because of that. But they were doing... Like, they did a fair number of Zeppelin songs, but he was still rocking, kicking them up a bit. And they did do a really cool version of When the Levee Breaks, a very acoustic blues, took it back to an acoustic blues song, very Delta blues-ish. And that is available on a CD they did as It was like a benefit. It was in Paris or something. A benefit of something in Paris or something. They recorded it in Paris and they released it as a charity through his website. And it was a bitch to get. And I ended up having to email his website saying, I'm going to buy this, and I can't seem to find anywhere to buy it. And they had to send me a link that you couldn't find, and I posted the link, I think, somewhere. But it's a decent version. And it got dropped after Hurricane Katrina. Which actually I thought was odd. I get the thinking. Maybe it's a little insensitive now. The levees did break. But I thought it would have been an excellent opportunity for him to talk a little bit about New Orleans. The crowd, you know, some artists like to say, and I don't think, like, Katrina got politicized to a degree. I don't think it's necessarily a political issue to say, look, down in New Orleans, they need your help. You know, think about sending some money. Here's a charity that I'm aligned with. Please go online and donate some money if you feel inclined, and then sing the song. That's not being overly political, or, you know what I mean? As a guy who hates when artists start getting all political, when I didn't go for the politics, that wouldn't have bothered me at all. That would have been, you know, a 30-second little PSA, and you know, line up with some charity or another that's helping in New Orleans, and then do the song. Would have been a cool thing to do, but he dropped it altogether, and I do get that as well. But it was too bad, because it was a good version. It was a very cool version of When the Levee Breaks they were doing around that time. But it was a good show he was putting on at the time. They sounded good. And then, of course, from there he went to Alison Krauss. And then, of course, from there he went to some band called Led Something. Then he didn't go back to them and went back to Alison Krauss. And then so on and so forth. Hey, him and Alison Krauss did the Lead Belly tribute. They did a number of pieces, actually. I think I probably talked about it in the Missing episode. But a funny thing, I was looking at it. Alison Krauss looks awful. She looks like she's had bad plastic surgery or something. And she was really a beautiful, beautiful woman. And very talented. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't buy or not buy her albums because of... But she does. She looks... Does not look good these days. And that's too bad. But anyway. And I have not seen videos of the Lead Belly tribute. And I have not heard any kind of reviews of it. So I couldn't say much on it other than I did see the set list. And I think Plant was out for like the whole thing. Which was, you know, probably about 40 minutes. It was about 6 or 8 songs. Anyway, I think we'll two pluses, but you know, More Roar and Mighty Rearranger, recommend both. If you've got the LP of Mighty Roar or of Strange Sensation, Mighty Rearranger, yeah, let me know. I'd like to know if there's an LP out there. I don't know if I've ever seen one, and I tend to have albums, so that would be interesting to me. So if you've seen it, yeah, if you got it, just, and I'm not saying, well, you send it to me, I'm saying, let me know you got it so I know it exists. And that's, so that was 10 years ago, Mighty Rearranger. Wow, time flies, doesn't it? Time flies. And speaking of time flies, in the next couple of weeks we'll be looking at, I guess, the Earl's Court shows. We're at 40 years ago. Time really flying. And that's it for Ramble On Radio, episode 95. Check rambleonradio.com for news on this week's podcast. Led Zeppelin news and reviews. Any links and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Blowing the reed here. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. Listen on Spreaker. And be sure to go to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. If you feel inclined, just sign up Spreaker and follow. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 95. Keep it cool and keep it cool, baby. I keep it cool,
baby. I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
switch off the internet.